1985. I'm sitting together with Mrs. Alice Steinberg in Moline, Illinois. And she was born 1907, September 3rd, in Fjärås, Sweden. And came to the United States 1929. Ja, vi kan väl tala svenska, eller?
Ja, visst kan vi språka svenska.
Nordhalländska.
Ja, det...
Vi var född i Fjärås.
Ja, då.
1907, ja. Mm. Berätta lite grann om vad pappa och...
Ja, det kommer jag inte ihåg, för min mamma dog när jag var bara liten. Och min far reste hit till landet och vi vet inte något om honom.
Så på så vis, ja. Mm-hmm. Han, ni träffade aldrig pappa då?
No.
Inte vart han åkte eller någonstans?
No. Och var han var ute i Montana, tror jag.
Ja, till bröder eller andra syskon som han åkte till? Eller?
No, det vet jag inte. Det...
Ingenting?
Ja.
Så mor eller farföräldrar?
Ja, min morfar och min moster har rest oss.
Jaha, så ni har växt upp i deras hem då?
Mm.
Ja. Och var det någon mer syskon i familjen?
Ja, en bror.
En bror också?
Ja, och så hade jag en bror här i Amerika.
Ja. Vad arbetade pappa med innan han...
Ja, det vet jag inte säkert.
Han var inte fiskare eller...
Ja, det är väl ingen fisk. Det är väl ingen fisk i Montana, det vet jag.
Men jag menar i Sverige?
Nej. Det var bara lantbrukare, tänker jag.
Lantbrukare?
Ja, visst.
Ja. Så mamma, hon dog redan...
Ja, jag var 19 månader gammal när mamma dog.
Ja. Och där växte ni upp då i morfars och mormors...
Ja, morfars hem. Mormor var död, men morfar levde. Och så var det en moster.
Och där gick ni till skola och konfirmerade sig. Mm-hmm. Vad hette kyrkan när ni var...
Tjolöholms slottkyrka.
Det var ett privat kapell.
Ja.
Det var ett fideikommiss eller?
Ja, det vet jag inte om det var fideikommiss eller vad det var. Men det tillhörde Greve Bonde.
Greve Bonde?
Mm-hmm.
Och arbetade någon utav...
Nej, men det var... Bara några stycken som ute barnen som kunde gå där, och så var vi så nära. Så det var så långt till vår stora kyrka, så vi fick gå där för det. Så vi var, men den pastorn som var där, han hade Ölmevalla kyrka, där som Erik konfirmerade.
I Åsa?
Ja, han hade den också, och så Tjolöholm. Och så vi konfirmerade på samma år, och för samma... pastor, men i olika kyrkor.
Så det godset då, det låg alldeles intill var ni?
Ja, det är ute vid havet, Västerhavet. Mm-hmm. Tjolöholm.
Så en var stort. Det någon av er som arbetade där i?
Nej, yeah, no. Nej.
Så det var bara konfirmationen som kom att bli?
Ja, visst. Ja.
Bli i del i ett led där, ja. Så när börjar ni arbeta nu för... Och hjälpa till hemma? Men...
Ja, vi hade ett litet jordbruk hemma. Alltså vi... Och sen så hade jag plats i Göteborg innan jag reste hit.
Ja, det var efter konfirmationen?
Oh, ja, visst. Ja. Jag arbetade på Säry för ett par år utanför Göteborg. På en...
Det är också en herrgård, är det inte det? Eller?
Nej, Säry, det är en sommar...
There's where the king...
Ja.
Jag menar inte herrgård, utan jag menar...
Resort.
Ja, just det, men jag tänkte på det svenska.
På svenska, det jag kan inte säga. Men det är ju bara turister som bor där. Det är ju miljonärer nästan allihop som bor där.
Men på den tiden, det var bara de kungliga eller...
Ja, det var många.
Det var inte för allmänheten på den tiden?
Ja, det var om de hade, så, de hade en villa där så de kunde ha den där, så var det var ingen restriktion.
Bodde folk året runt där? Eller?
Ja, de som jag arbetade för, de bodde där hela året runt. Han var en vinhandlare i Göteborg. Och han visste mellan Göteborg och Säry. Det är inte så långt, men det var bara utanför Göteborg. Men det är en ö. Det är det är mer än halvö, men det är en kanal som går klar, så det är nästan en ö där.
Så hur länge höll ni på att arbeta där i?
Well, jag var där ett par år, sen var det nästan ett år i Göteborg. hos sin överstelöjtnant. Han var överstelöjtnant på Kviberg. Och sen så reste jag hit till landet.
Och det var husarbete då? Eller
oh, ja.
Koka och göra mat? Och
ja, no, jag var... vad kallar det? The second girl. Vad kallar det på svenska? Husa, I guess.
Husa?
Ja, husa, ja.
Så, och sen blev det Amerikatankar. Hur kom de med i...
Ja, men se, han gick 2 år före sig. Än vi kände varandra då också.
Och
ja, visst. Ja, visst. Sure.
Beroende på hembygden när ni har
träffats
hemma.
Mm. Oh, ja. Och våra föräldrar nu varandra och goda vänner.
Så han åkte först och då blev det bestämt att
ja.
Skulle komma hem efter ett tag? Eller
well, jag vet jag inte, men jag la in ansökan att komma hit detsamma, på samma gång som han reste.
1927?
27, yes. Men så sa de då att det blir nog 2 år innan jag kunde få visa.
Alltså 2 år?
Ja, men det var inte riktigt 2 år innan jag fick... Så han reste i september 1927 och jag fick anmälan att jag kunde komma in till konsulatet på... jag tror det var i mars 1928. 29. Alltså det var inte 2 år då innan i september då. Okay. Men så reste jag då i juni.
Varför tog det så lång tid? Var det...
Ja, det vet jag inte. Ja, det var så många som kom hit.
Det var många som
Ja, visst. Det var så många
som... Ja. Göteborg eller...
Ja, ja, det tror jag nog att det var. För det var...
Svårt att få arbete i Sverige.
Ja. Oh ja, det var... Det var nästan inte något annat än husarbete som man kunde få. Det var inte lätt att få det heller.
Nej. Så det var inget arbete på...
Nej.
På några fabriker, Mölnlycke?
Och kanske det var, men... jag hade inte någon lust för det, så... jag tänkte jag aldrig på anmäla någon på någon fabrik.
Nej. Så hur gick det till nu med... Skickar maken Erik hem med biljett eller?
Ja, han skickade min biljett.
Så det var bara att gå på båten då?
Mm. Ja.
Och vinka farväl till Vinga fyr?
Ja, visst.
Vad heter båten som ni åker på?
Gripsholm var så...
Och det var i mars eller april?
Ja, no, det var i juni, den 6 juni 1929.
6 juni.
Svenska flaggans dag, det var flaggor överallt.
Hur gick det till när ni gick till prästen och tog flyttningsbetyg? Varnade prästen för att ni skulle åka till Amerika?
Nej.
Han sa ingenting?
Nej, de var nog glada att det inte
var
hoppas. Ja. Ja.
Men det var många som...
Oh ja, det var många som gick. Ja då.
Det var ingen på samma gång det var... från det området som ni
gick? Nej, inte rätt därifrån, men det var min garantera... Sverige, det var många. Det var 400 finnar som gick till Kanada.
På samma båt?
Ja. Vi stoppade in Halifax och det gick av där.
På båtresan över nu, det var direkt till New York då.
Mm.
Vad pratade ni om, alltså ni som var svenskar?
Ja. Det kan nog hända vi gjorde. Jag kommer det är så länge sedan så det kommer inte. Nej.
Att hon sa att hon skulle åka över och åka tillbaka till Sverige. Det
var jag vet min kamrat som var i samma hytt som jag. Hon var sjuk hela tiden så hon sa om jag kommer på fastlandet igen så åker jag aldrig ut på havet igen så.
Alltså det var det mål hon hade.
Ja.
Men det var ingen som sa att de skulle åka tillbaka till Sverige efter några
nej,
veckor?
Nej, det kommer jag inte ihåg. Mm. Och det hade vi nog i när jag lämnade min bror och i Göteborg så sa han ja, du får skynda dig att komma hem. Ja, om 5 år kommer jag hem, så. Men det blir inte 5 år, det blir nästan 55.
Var hade ni hört det 5 år?
Var
använde folk det mycket? Att
det... Nej, det var väl inte. Det var väl bara någonting som man fick i huvudet.
Som slant ur. Så resan över, gick den bra?
Ja då, jag var aldrig sjuk eller något. Jag hade en fin resa.
Och landstigen i New York, det var utan besvär. Och...
Ja, det var så fint. Det var... Det... Jag har alltid sagt att jag tyckte så mycket om Salvation Army, de var där. De var där och hjälpte emigranterna. Ja, mötte vid båten och emigranterna. Och varnade dem att de inte skulle prata med någon som språkade deras eget språk. Han var försiktig och så här. Och de var på han visste vad för kläder jag hade på mig innan han såg mig i Chicago.
Hade du någon talat om det?
Ja visst, det var hade det var
före. Det var svenska frälsningsarmén.
Ja, sure. Mm-hmm.
Alltså de kom ner till båten och...
Ja, de kom ner och mötte emigranterna. Så vi hade emigranttåg från New York till Chicago.
Så ni var aldrig på Ellis Island då? För det var stängt?
Oh no, det var stängt då. Det var 2 år sedan som den... Så det var... Vi behövde inte gå till Ellis. Vi hade examination
i Göteborg. Så allting var klart?
Allting var klart.
Så ni lämnade papper och sånt i New York en del eller...
Ja, jag tänker de som de lämnade er för myndigheterna, det gick nog till Washington. För när vi tog ut våra naturalization papper, då hade ju de visste ju allting om när vi gick.
Det var
klart. Ja, sure.
Och sen tågresan då, hur kunde de nu i... som är maken med Erik. Hur kunde han veta?
Ja, det vet jag inte. Hur...
Ringde de då ifrån New York eller?
No.
När de kom ner till stationen och mötte. Ja. Så talade de om, för de talade om det. De frågade om vem som han sa då namnet. Och han sa, ja hon är med en hon är klädd så och så. Men det vet jag inte hur det är. Om de hade nog
ett,
kanske en de kanske tog hade ett tåg som gick fortare, för de stannade ju här och där. Det tog ju ett helt dygn innan vi kom ifrån New York till Chicago.
Så de kunde meddela då i Chicago till Erik Stenberg här,
Alice
Börjesson kommer och är
kvart. Men om inte det hade varit någon nu, så nu skulle jag gå till Chicago. Han skulle lämna sig där. Om inte det hade varit någon som hade mött det där, så hade de, jag tror det var det YMCA? Var det YMCA som de... Det var någonstans som emigrant... byrån som tog hand om dem som inte.
Så de fick inte gå ut på egen hand?
No, de släppte inte ut någon på egen hand.
Ja, så det har bra kontroll då?
Oh, ja, visst.
Och de pratar svenska till er?
Oh, ja, de språkar svenska.
Så det var ju en trygghetskänsla. Fick ni mat på tåget eller hur?
Ja, vi fick mat. Det var ju lite dåligt. Vi redde oss ändå.
Det fick ni köpa själv?
Oh, ja.
Det var inte lätt då utan kunskap i engelska och...
No.
Det var lite annorlunda mot åka in till Göteborg.
Ja, visst.
Så då mötte han i Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Och sen var det av till...
Ja, sen jag var ett par dagar i Chicago med en familj som var han bodde. Och sen så åkte vi ner hit till Molin till se min bror. Och så skulle jag gå tillbaka till Chicago och få ett arbete där. Men de ville inte släppa mig här, så jag fick stanna här. De ville jag skulle stanna här i Molin.
Ja. Alltså, er andra bror nu, ni har en bror i Sverige?
Ja, han är död nu och den som är här i Molin, han är gången också.
Hade han åkt över tidigare?
Ja, han var här över tidigare. Han var en morbror till mig som var hemma och visita. Han tog min bror med sig.
På så vis, ja. Vad heter han?
Ivar Börjesson.
Ivar Börjesson.
Uh-huh.
Och han kom direkt till Molin.
Mm. Well, no. Han kom till DeKalb. Där var min morbror bodde då. Uh-huh. Och sen så var han i Joliet för a while. And then kom han hit ner till Molin.
Och arbetade han då med för...
Han arbetar för Borgenbeck.
Borgenbeck.
Ja.
Vad tillverkar de för någonting eller vad för fabrik var det?
Scales, och vad var det inte Scales? Vad var det gjorde? Vad gjorde Borgenbeck?
De med part for clutches, I think.
Clutches,
so. Cars, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
For the automobile industry, yeah.
Yeah. But then they moved out of here. They moved up to Chicago.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and the sister, and I met her for Williamson White.
Det var också en bilfabrikant, var inte det?
Ja, det vet jag inte. Han var toolmaker, jag vet inte.
Ja, så han var gift och bodde här då i...
Ja,
mm. Så han ville att ni skulle stanna kvar här i...
Mm-hmm.
Och så blev det också då.
Mm-hmm. Ja, och sen så kom ju det... Det var inget arbete i Chicago, så kom han hit ner och så han arbetade... Här han arbetade Deers för lite grann och International Harvester. Och han var ute på farm en del.
Så depressionsåren där var inte mycket bättre. Det var inte mycket bättre i Molin än i Chicago.
Oh no no no. Det var hemskt överallt.
They all walked the street here too.
Jaha. Så det var många som åkte hem då utav svenskar som.
Ja, yeah, they got help so they could.
De kunde åka.
Ja. Yeah.
Annars så blev de.
But they had money.
Ja. Yeah.
Så arbetar ni?
Ja, jag arbetar husarbete till 1935.
Jaha. Men ni gifte er
1935.
35?
Ja.
Jaha. Och det gjorde ni i Joliet?
Ja, vi gick över mina släktingar i Joliet. Så
vad hade ni väntat så länge för? Ni kände ju varandra redan för Sverige 1920.
Det är 4 år. Det är 4 år som inte vi hade någonting. Du kan inte gifta sig på en string.
Men nu för tiden gifter ni sig.
Ja, det kan nog hända nu för tiden. Men det var då. Det var på den tiden när Lasse levde. Nu lever bara Lars.
Så det var ingen som gifte sig under den tiden?
Det var inte många. Det var inte många. Om du inte hade någonting att gifta dig på så fick du... Men vi tyckte det var mycket bättre att jag arbetade och han var på farm än att han skulle...
Och farmen, var den utanför i...
Det var ute i Iowa.
I Iowa?
Jaha.
Went out and picked corn and... threshing time and you name it, we did.
It was close to Waterloo, Iowa, where he was at.
Yeah, I was out there 3 years. Well, 3 winters.
So you know how to husk corn?
Oh, yes.
Follow the mules. Så och det var många stadsarbetare som kom ut på landsbygden och gjorde det jobbet?
Ja, det var det enda.
De fick rum och bord, men inte mycket betalt då väl?
No. Lite grann, I guess.
Cent and a half a bushel.
Och det var inte mycket att skicka hem till festmunnen och säga att...
Nej då.
När det slutet av veckan.
Nej då.
Och det gick inte att komma hem varje vecka heller.
No. Oh, no, 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 no. Vi såg inte varandra för veckotal.
Ja, det var hela säsongen de var ute på farmen. Så
ja, oh ja.
Fick de hålla på där?
Ja, visst.
Well, when the corn and threshing was over, then you go. Because they couldn't keep you.
Nej. No.
They couldn't even buy coal for the furnaces out there, so they put the corn ears in the furnace and burned them.
Uh-huh.
They didn't get any price for it. I think they sold the corn for shell corn for 8 cents a bushel. And the coal cost a whole lot more than that.
Yeah.
So it was billigare att använda.
Oh boy, I tell you.
Majsen som bränsle, ja.
Yeah.
That was the time.
Och John Deere och International Harvester, de låg mer eller mindre nere också under den tiden?
Oh ja, det var ingenting.
Det var inga bönder som kunde köpa några traktorer eller?
No, det var ingen som... Det var...
I could buy farms out in Iowa. It worked $1 million and better for taxes.
Uh-huh. Ready to pick up.
If you had the money.
What could I do with it?
Så det fanns helt enkelt inga pengar på den tiden?
No. Farmers went broke.
The banks closed and what you had in the bank, if you had a little bit saved, det gick.
No.
Så det var bistra tider?
Ja.
Och det var hela tiden upp till 1935, Eller kanske
well,
det började hjälpa i 34.
Hoover was the president. And he ran for election in 32. And he lost to Roosevelt. Roosevelt got in 33. See? And then there start to be Roosevelt closed the banks.
Hoover.
No, Hoover closed the bank and Roosevelt opened them.
Okay. And he opened up all kinds of work, you know, for people, you know, to that they had to work, you know, yeah, all kinds of, they had to work for their, and they wasn't handed out like it is now.
So there was nothing sånt under Hoovers regime?
No.
Det var aldrig tänkt på en gång?
Nej. No, that was all.
The only thing that was in Hoover's time, there was a soup line.
And the
line for a bowl of soup.
And the people that came and they marched to Washington, and they put the machine guns on them because they went to Washington to ask for help. You know, those that had been in the World War One and things like that, that had felt like they had better come, and they just put the machine guns on them.
So and why still people don't like Roosevelt?
Oh, there was a lot of them. There's a lot of them that liked him, and a lot of them didn't.
Ja, men varför tyckte de inte om Roosevelt när han satte folk på?
I think he did. There was more than that liked him than that. Well, now they're talking different.
Men just då efter till exempel 35 och 36 och 37, var de alla för Roosevelt då?
Well, hur kunde han bli omvald för fyra gånger?
Han blev det, ja. Så det var en
och det var ju landslide varenda gång.
Så han var omtyckt som
president. Ja, det tror jag säkert.
Ja. Men det är konstigt att inte Hoover kom på någon av de idéerna själv.
Nej. Hoover, jag vet inte.
Han var inte växt för uppgiften.
Nej.
Så då 35 ni gifte er i Joliet och tillbaka till Molin. Och blir det arbete här i stan då?
Ja, han arbetade då.
Vad var det för arbete?
Construction.
Construction?
Ja. Yeah.
Så det började att lossna?
Oh ja, oh ja, visst. Det började i början på 34, det var
34,
ja, det var rätt så bra då.
Så det blir en full veckas arbete.
Oh ja.
5 dagars arbete.
Oh ja, visst.
Ja. Och det fanns inga unions i det tillfället.
Yes, well, sure they have the union.
Men International Harvester och John Deere, var de organiserade?
No.
Var det inte?
No, I don't think so. I never heard of
it. Oh ja, det vet jag inte. Det kommer jag inte ihåg.
Utan det var mer eller mindre öppet. Och då var det många plogfabriker här i stan. Det var Molin, Plauen, Deeren.
John Deere Plauen.
John Deere Plauen. Minneapolis, Molin.
Ja.
Och John Deere, han blev tog i allihop efter ett tag.
Ja.
Så var det många svenskar nu som arbetade på John Deere? De sa ju alltid att det kunde de John Deere så släppte de honom på resta stället.
Ja.
Så de arbetade de flesta svenskarna då?
Det vet jag inte om det var de flesta. Men
Och belgare, ja. Hur kom de överens nu med svenskarna, belgarna?
Fine.
Så det var lätt att vara tillsammans med dem på...
Ja. De lärde sig språka svenska och svenskarna lärde sig språka belgiska.
Det gjorde de väl aldrig?
Visst gjorde de det.
Svenskar?
De lärde sig.
Fåtal ord.
Ja,
På arbetsplatsen.
Ja, likadant som svenska, som Belgien, de lärde sig svenska. Och hur mår du och allt sånt där.
Men så de var kamratanda på
Visst.
För att italienare och svenskarna kom ju inte så bra överens de första åren i en del städer. Men det var inga italienare här i Molin.
Det har varit så många i Rakalen.
Var det?
Ja, det har varit så många.
Men inte i Molin då?
Det kanske är några stycken, men inte så värst många. Men där är mer i Rakalen.
Så på din arbetsplats nu, Erik, var det där belgare eller vad man säger?
That was a mixture. There was Swedes, Belgians, Germans, and you name it.
Huh? Where was Stillfield? Where was he?
Well, the building construction.
Yeah, but what nationality was Stillfield?
Who?
Stillfield. What was his?
He's German.
Oh, he was German.
Mm-hmm. So, och det var inga problem. Vem var förman nu till exempel i arbetena? Var det svenskar eller belgare eller tyskar?
Det var väl.
It depend on where you work. I worked for one Harry Moline here. On buildings. There were Swedes, all of them. Foremen and workers.
Running the whole thing?
Yeah. Well, we had German bricklayers. There too, you know, see. But for Stillfield, that was
mixed.
We were Swede foreman, and we were German, and we were most of the, you know, mixed, you see.
Oh. Yeah. So you worked for all kind of different foremen then? German, Swedes?
Well, yeah.
Belgians?
Yeah.
Were there any difference?
No.
They said the Swedes, they were the hardest to work for.
Yes.
They were?
Yeah.
They were, they said in Chicago. You had 2 years now in Chicago. Du gick igenom ekluten, som man säger.
Mm-hmm.
And they were not easy.
I never had any trouble. So now there was work to do, you know. See?
No. But they said they stick around, boys. We are hiring and firing and hiring all day.
No,
but Chicago, I suppose, was much tougher though than Moline.
Oh yeah.
It was.
Yeah, that's much tougher.
Because there was more people standing waiting in line to get into to compete.
Yeah, and then there were so many nationalities, you know. Al Capone was up there too, you know.
That's right. Yeah, but he didn't have anything to say at that time though, did he?
Well, there was a lot of racketeering.
Yeah, but there was no unions though in
Oh yes. You had
paid. Well, the bricklayers were organized in the labors.
Yeah, sure. You had to have a
carpenters and all of them.
The
yes, yeah.
So they were organized, yeah.
You had to have work.
So then there was a favoritism if you belonged to one certain group.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose the bricklayers, they were mostly Italians though, weren't they, masonry workers?
Oh, I don't know.
No, well, there's Swedes too. There's
Swedes?
A lot of Swedes that are bricklayers.
Well, there was more Italians though.
No.
No?
Well, not right there where
no,
you were, because
they wouldn't lay any brick because they'd be too complicated. They want to make it some other way, you know, make it simple.
Italians?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. They like shortcuts.
Yeah. They take now the Swedes and the Germans, well, the Scandinavian and the Germans, see? They worked alike, you know, see? They worked together and everything else to work the same way, but you take an Italian, that's a clique, they're either going to have a pool hall or a restaurant or you name it, see.
Oh, I think so. There was a...
No. No.
How about the Belgians though? They are coming in between there with the... Are they with the...
Yeah, most of the Belgians, they work down here. I never met the Belgian in Chicago. I never met the Belgian.
No, but here you met them though?
Oh, yeah, sure. And they just like everybody else.
Oh.
Yeah, all right.
So there was...
Look at those cute birds on the roof there.
Yeah. They're having a meeting now before the fall meeting.
Yeah, but they're I guess they're sparrows, but they sure don't look like sparrows.
No, they're sparrows. Young ones. A little bit light color.
Yeah.
So so you continued then in construction, Erik, all your life?
Yeah.
You didn't work for John Deere or International Harvest there?
Well, when I first came down there, I worked for her brother. And then they broke up. So that was just a short time. Then I went down to John Deere. And that was just a short time there. Then I went down to Farm Hall. And that was just a short time there. So
But they called you back at John Deere, but you had a job. You had a job then in construction, and you didn't like, he didn't like the shop inside. He liked the outside work.
I was building construction outside.
You worked as a carpenter then, or?
I done a little bit of everything.
And he, cement work and...
Hog carrying and...
Yeah, he
temper up the mortar.
No.
No. No,
that I didn't do. But I done most of anything.
You work for Peterson's here?
No.
No.
Because there were quite a few construction businesses here in Moline.
Yeah.
And during...
I worked for a guy in Daniwak Island, Stillfield Construction.
And during the war, why, he was not in uniform, but he was in the government...
I had orders to put the uniform on.
Government service, because he... See, they were. They had.
Yeah, they needed the construction worker.
Yeah, they had. They had a job on the arsenal. See, so.
Yeah, and I'm back to the arsenal. And you didn't work though when you were married.
I worked for a family by the name of Lardner, and I was there, and that was her that called. Now she's in her 80s, and. I was there for over 50 years and helped them.
I see. Cooking and...
cooked and different things and helped to raise the children. And they had three boys and they're just like our sons.
So you kept on going then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you rented an apartment then the first time when you got married?
Oh yeah.
How about the Swedes now that came here in the early 20s, did they have their own house usually or did they rent it?
No,
they rented.
Everybody rented, nobody had any money, so.
No, but 20s, they said, was pretty good then in the early 20s.
Well, I don't know.
When I first came to Chicago, them were single then, we didn't want just a room, We just had a room, someplace, And I lived with Germans, I lived with Swedes, and I lived with Irish, so that went good.
But then when they, the ones that came in after the First War in the 1920s, were they able to buy their own house in the late 20s?
I don't know. I think there was
they
a lot of...
They mostly rented them.
I think they do. An awful lot of them rented.
And then during the war, then the housing after the war started to...
There started to be more so,
And that was after the war?
Yeah, after the war.
The World War II, yeah.
Yeah. Then the people moved off from the apartments and get their own houses. So you came to this house then in the 50s or...?
No, we haven't lived here more than about 9 years.
Oh, I see. So you came in later and then in this part. And then you belong to... Vasa, you said?
Yeah, we joined there in 1931.
31?
54 years.
And then the Vikings?
Yeah.
Why did you join two organizations? Was that because of hospitalization?
Not necessarily.
New friends?
Friends, and you go to different things and they're different.
But there was doings. The only hospitalization you can get at that time?
Oh, no, there is. You can get hospitalization. You can get hospitalizations, although if you want to.
No, but they was never used to. Most of them went to an organization like Vasa.
Oh yeah, but they was not only for that though, because they were so little that
that's
in the month. It's
that.
Mostly for social. No, I wouldn't say that. But
no, but way back, I'm talking about the 1930s now. That it was a good help to $6-$8 a week if you got sick, for instance.
Wouldn't believe this, but I have belonged to it for that many years, and I have drawn $8 out of it.
Yes, you are one of the better ones.
Well, yes, but I have
lucky
also.
Then, in other words,
well, yes, yes, maybe I have, but I have also reported it, and then you have to be sick so long before you get something.
And then you were well again.
Yeah, so you never got it.
But the one that really got sick though in the 30s. It was a good help to have that money.
Oh yeah, I suppose.
For the insurance.
No.
So Noble, they were pretty big then, Noble.
Yes.
Oh, and you met Danton in...
different, there was...
We joined down in
Pier Hall. It was down on 15th Street in in Fifth Avenue. But then after that, they moved to the Odd Fellows building, you know, and
were they
were there for.
Until last year, or what?
And then we had the camp, you know, camp by the river, by the river.
Yes.
Camp Noble, and that belongs to some Greeks now, that they have at the Croatian Club.
Was it on Rock River or
mm-hmm,
was it on
mm-hmm,
Rock River?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that was back in the 1930s, they bought the property?
Yeah, well, let's see, the boy...
We built it, that was during the 37, I think, they
done some work in 37, but they was built before, I think. But they built it, Noble Lodge built it.
So you were able to hang on then to the lodge membership even during the Depression?
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of people
mm-hmm.
that had to drop off.
Oh yeah, but it wasn't that much. I mean, it wasn't that much.
Yeah, but
there
was still, like he's talking about sending a heifer for a bushel of corn, you know, you really had to work hard for it.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, we managed.
You paid his dues then in Vasa?
You bet I did.
You did?
You bet I did.
So the farmer's income couldn't help out, huh?
No.
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 So your help was almost needed, and I mean, for two people to to hang together.
Mm-hmm.
One person's income was not enough.
No, no, not at that rate, because of course I didn't have too much in salary, but I had board and room and everything, you know, at Lardner's.
So you could save 100%
then, yeah,
more or less.
Sure, more or less.
And you had to be...
And I had uniforms and everything there, so you see that way away.
And how about now, you said you went out to Iowa, Waterloo, to husk corn and harvesting and threshing. Did you have a car then you can go out there, or did you go...
His brother had a car.
My brother came in and got me. See, he left Chicago, and he went out there first.
So he left also Chicago for...
Oh,
yes,
sure.
There was no job to be
seen? No, there wasn't anything.
So then he came in and got me, and then I stayed out there so long as there was something to do, see. And
what were he, was he doing then? Was he going back to Moline again then, your brother, or did he stay out there too?
No, he stayed out there quite a while.
He stayed out there quite a while.
Uh-huh. So he had the transportation.
And there was even the time he had nothing to do out there, so he just worked for his bread and his meal, see? So he could stay out there, see? They couldn't pay him, so he stayed out there, see? And I left to come into Moline.
Well, you picked up a little bit. You worked in a dairy for a little bit. And oh, he done all kinds of things, you know, whatever he could get a job.
Even one time I painted a car for a fellow.
I bet that was cute.
What?
With the brush.
With the brush?
Yeah. Oh, gee.
And I think I got $2.50 for doing it.
One coat covered, huh?
He said, I don't care what it looked like, he just painted.
Yeah.
So, well, you've been through that mill now in Depression in the 30s.
Yeah,
well,
you know,
people are talking about Depression today. I mean, now there is a lot of money around. Compared to that Depression, there was no money. In other words, you could never see any money.
No.
But how about the Depression today now? Do you think people spend money on some things?
There's a lot of them that, you know, that have been out of work now for so long. Of course, they're on welfare, and there wasn't any welfare at that time.
There was no way to
tell. No, there was no welfare.
I even went up to the welfare here in Moline, and there would be anything I could do, see? And they said, they got a hold of a piece of paper. Married or single? Yeah, I was not married then, see? No work.
So unmarried ones could never receive any...
Unmarried, no.
Only children and a wife then could receive...
Well, if you're married, you maybe got...
Yeah, then maybe you could pick up something that would help you.
You can get, you know, groceries, see?
Yeah.
That was all you got, see? But the single didn't get it. So I asked him, I said, well, you can do with the single guys and girls. I had to take them out and shoot them, get rid of them.
But that was just about the size of it.
Well, that was the same thing if you had asked for a weapon. Yeah. You didn't get it either.
No, no, no. If you were single, and of course, if you were willing, and Germans and Swedes, they never had any trouble with housework because they were sought after. They were just, you ask for, most of them, they would say, well, what nationality are you?
Well, they asked for that.
Yeah, if you were a Swede, they wanted the Swedish girls. Mm-hmm. If you were born in Sweden, you didn't have any trouble at all.
Mm-hmm. So there was a...
And the same way with Germans too. Oh. They had really... I don't know about Norwegians, that I never have heard, but I do know that they asked one time when I first came here, when I put in my application, they asked me if I was German or Swede.
Mm-hmm. What year did you take out the citizen papers now? Erik, you got yours first?
Yeah, he got his in 36.
No.
Yes. We hadn't been married. Yeah, you got yours in 36.
Yeah.
And I got mine in 37. But I didn't have to apply for my first paper. I got his on his.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh. So, so then after the war, anyway, then there was a different picture of the whole thing. Then it started to
help.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So everybody could work, you know. Uh-huh. It took a time before you could start to work.
But I read an article in the paper yesterday about this credit cards. People are going overboard with these credit cards. They are just buying right and left, and then they haven't got any money to pay for it.
And back in that time, there was
no
plastic cards.
No.
Anything. But what did the people do then if they couldn't get a job? I mean, nothing to eat and nothing to buy for. What do they? What happened?
I really don't know.
The soup line.
I guess that. Yeah, but the.
Who had the soup line?
Salvation Army.
Was that the only church that had the soup line?
I think
there was some other ones down in Rock Island too. You know, there was. So they had their regular soup line. You could go and.
I don't know who. What other church had it? But I know Salvation Army. They were very good to people.
Yeah. And you still have it, I guess, feed people
down
there.
I have always had a soft spot in my heart for Salvation Army because they were so good to everybody. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, when I first came here to Moline, there was mostly Swedish, in Salvation Army. And every Christmas, they was marching through the streets downtown, and they were singing, and now it isn't that way. They don't speak Swedish anymore. But
there were a lot of Swedes when you came here in 1929.
Oh yes.
And
well, there's just as many Swedes now, I guess, but they're Swedish descent, most of them. We're not very many. That all those old ones, they're dying off. They just aren't here anymore.
How about the old timers that were here in the 1930s that you met? Were they really Swedish ways, in other words?
They had their Swedish, customs and everything. But
when we joined the Vasa, they spoke Swedish.
They spoke Swedish then.
At the meetings.
But that died down.
Yeah, because there are so many, the Swedish descent, so many of them that don't. Now we have a son. He understands a few things in Swedish, but he can't speak it. He was over in Sweden 3 years ago, but he couldn't speak with those that didn't talk English. Of course, most of the younger people in our families, they speak English, so they don't. He didn't have.
Did you talk Swedish when he was growing up?
No.
Well, we talked to a certain extent. Well, I remember when he was little, where he used to say, when we talked, he says, I know what you were talking about, because if we didn't want him to hear it, why didn't we talk Swedish?
So he got the drift off.
So he says, I know what you were saying, he used to say. And but still, when he got away from home, he got away from home, now he wishes he could.
Now he wishes.
And we used to say table prayers and at night and that in Swedish, until he was around 10 years old. And he says, Why do we have to speak Swedish or say it in Swedish when we live in America, he used to say. So we turned right around there and started in with America.
You obeyed his command.
Well, he was happier with that.
Was he interested to join Vasa or Viking?
No. Well, he was a Viking. He was with the Vikings for Viking juniors for quite a while. But then after he got married and got out to Nebraska, he dropped it.
So what can you see in the difference now between the Vikings and the Vasa?
Well, Vikings is alive and Vasa is dying.
Yeah, so they have the clubhouse. That makes a difference.
Yeah. But half, more than half, are they say that they are Swedish and that they can be a Swedish ancestor way back when. Just so they have a little bit of maybe one drop of Swedish blood in their veins, so then they can belong to Vikings, which is really is not supposed to be. They're supposed to be Scandinavians.
Will it be the same, you think, if there were too many outsiders like, or some of the Swedes now married to Belgian people? They are some.
Oh yes, our church, our Swedish church here, they have Belgians.
Which one is that?
Salem.
Salem.
Yeah.
So they are Belgian people.
Yeah, sure.
Married into
and some of them, they kept on either the woman or the man, or they belong to the Catholic Church. Finally, they have joined our church.
Come over to our church.
Well, they are.
We have even Jewish.
Yeah.
People. We married have, into the congregation.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, we got one couple. He was a Swedish minister. And was a minister.
Yeah, he was. Well, he is ordained, now. He's ordained, and he's Jewish, and his wife is Jewish, and everything. And they joined our church, and he isn't. He's ordained minister, but he doesn't work as a minister now. He works for
the minister.
Yeah.
He worked for IBM.
But he said he got better paid there. He had a little church someplace. I don't remember where it was before he came to Moline.
How does it work out now when a Swedish girl or Swedish boy married a Belgian or non-Swedish? Which one is taking over then?
Well, it all depends.
The culture. In other words, what can you see? What
well, I don't know. I don't
children?
Know. I don't know what I should say about that because, well, if it's the girl is a Swedish, she probably want to hang on to some of the Swedish customs and things like that around holidays and things like that. But I don't think that the boy is quite as, or the man is quite as.
So it depends on which one, the male or female.
Mm-hmm.
How about the Belgians? Now, what
they hang together?
They do? Yeah, they...
Are they stronger together than the Swedes?
Well, I don't... Well, that is not that they belong to our church now. They don't click together, no.
No.
But he means, I guess, when they belong to the Catholic Church.
So most of them are Catholics?
Yeah, oh yeah. All the Belgians are born Catholics.
Catholic.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes.
But they go cross over.
Yeah, they can cross over, and we have some of them that have been Lutherans that have joined the Catholics too. There's now this fellow called here about the license plate. Their son married a Catholic girl, and he has left the Lutheran Church and
to get peace in the house, he has a job.
I suppose that's what.
What do the parents say about things like that? It's not easy.
Well, it isn't easy. But what can you say? Yeah.
Sit, lean back.
I always did wish that our son would marry a girl with the same religion, and he did. But if he hadn't, what could we do? Done. We couldn't have done a thing.
Yeah, now, our daughter-in-law, you better not call her anything else but the Swedish.
Her mother is Scotch-Irish, and her father was Swedish descent.
Born in Michigan.
But she don't want to be called anything else but a Swede.
She likes the Swede.
Oh, no. Because they say...
I kid her ever so often. I said, Marjean, I said, where was it your grandfather came from? Oh, han kom från Dalsland.
She speaks better Swede than our son.
Does,
yeah.
He's born Swede.
Yeah, he's full blood of Sweden. She is half.
So she sticks out for the the Swedes.
Oh yes, she's very much. And around Christmas time, that's all the Swedish food and everything, and everything is, and they buy things, from the Swedish shops and things like that. Oh, they're just.
And she worked She is even on the board for the seminary in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The daughter-in-law.
Oh, you mean the Lutheran School of Theology?
Yeah, uh-huh. Right. She's on the board there.
She's on the board there.
What's her name?
Mary Jean Steinberg.
Yeah.
And she is for the state of Nebraska. She is...
She's been in Europe 3 times for the Lutheran Conference.
Yeah.
So she is really involved with the religion.
Yeah, she was in Switzerland.
Is your husband, your son then... Is he a minister?
No. He's a chemist. He's
a research chemist.
For the...
But his wife then is from Nebraska area.
No, she's born in Sioux City.
Sioux City, Iowa.
And raised in Iowa.
Mm-hmm. Her father's dead now, but her mother lives in Kansas. But Mary Jean is our daughter-in-law. She's an English teacher for the Omaha College.
And now, not, there was last year, they were in Budapest.
In Budapest, yeah. And then John took his vacation and went with.
So there was a World Conference.
Yeah, there was a World Conference. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she went there. There were only 4 from the United States. And she was one of the 4. Mm-hmm. And the year before she was in Switzerland, and the year before that she was in Norway.
So she is really involved then with the religion. And
oh, she just loves to. Uh-huh.
She's very, very much for the Lutheran Church, the background of the Swedes, you know. Mm-hmm. And she's a credit to Augustana, and so is the boy of ours too. Yeah.
So that's, she carried on the Swedish traditions.
Yes, very much
so. If you compare now the Belgium with the Swedish organization, like the Swedes have us and Viking, how about the counterpart now, the Belgians? Are they strong in their ethnic groups?
I think they do. I think they have their own.
Right up here on 7th Street, that's the Belgium.
Belgian town,
yeah. They have the French circle, don't they?
They have, what they call that hall there?
And they're veterans of foreign wars,
No.
The French circle. That's the big hall there that they have all their doings, French circle. I don't know, there must be some kind of a lodge or something at the for the veterans, but I don't know.
You know, they go in there, they have the drinks and beer, whatever you like, you know, see.
Have they been experienced the same trouble as the Sweden now with Vasa? You know, the young people, they are not interested in it. The Belgians, are they
really
the same way?
Do
they have problems to get the young ones in there? Or?
I suppose they do. I really don't know, but I imagine so.
This neighbor here, he's Belgian. Uh-huh. He's born here, and so is his wife. Uh-huh. But you can't meet any bad people.
So no, we're
good neighbors.
Oh yeah, we're wonderful friends.
They do anything for us, and I do the same thing for him. So the difference, you know,
we're mutual interest. Then, what kind of work did they do then in the 20s and 30s?
Work in the shops.
Shop in the John Deere International Harvester.
Yeah, he worked for the John Deere.
That's
he's retired.
John Deere. He's pensioned for John Deere.
Mm-hmm. So they were.
Oh, I think you find wonderful people in all nationalities.
Yes.
I don't care what you say.
Yes, I suppose it's... but it's always a problem, though, you know, when another nationality comes into another... like the Swedes and Italians and Germans, you know.
Yeah, but you know, that has been gone on for so many years, so that the people are used to that. Yeah,
they
just sort of... No. And I don't think they notice it much now. In this generation, as they did when we were young, because you know, then it was more so, you know, they emphasized, well, he's a Swede and he's a Belgian, but now you never hear that.
So that's out, more or less, speaking daily.
Yeah. But like I say, I think you find good people and bad people in every nationality. I don't care what it is.
But the Swedes, they had a good reputation then when you came here.
So. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I think the Swedes have always had a good reputation.
You were not afraid to say that. You were
no.
Swede.
No.
Oh. They asked you for the nationality.
Yeah.
Did they ask you about the religion also when you employed for
the... No. Well, I can't remember that they... Yeah, maybe they did. when you had to fill out a paper or something like that. I think it said the religion.
Well, because nowadays you can't ask the question.
Oh, can't you?
That's against the law.
You take, if you go to the hospital, they ask you what kind of religion you are, see?
Oh, yeah.
In case you die, they like...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well. Or if you want, if you belong to a church, why then the pastor comes and calls, you know, if you're sick. Yeah. But, well, I didn't know that they aren't allowed to ask that.
Yeah, they cannot do that.
For heaven's sake.
What's that? Yeah.
They can't
well,
ask.
You apply for a job.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to tell, you know, what religion you had.
I don't think I've ever been asked either.
No?
Well, I don't, I can't remember when I, because I haven't had much, being that I was with the Lardner family for so many, many years, so I never had any, and they were, well, Mr. Lardner was Catholic, and Mrs. Lardner was Episcopalian. Of course, there isn't too much difference in those two religions.
But they went to two different churches, though.
Yes.
It's strange to have one family, can't
Yeah.
What happened to the
But kids? Mr. Lardner, well, they're nothing.
So what happened?
And the oldest son went to St. Ambrose in Davenport, and he was going to take a Catholic religion, you know, there, when he first started. And the priest came to Mr. Lardner, and he says, you might just as well forget it, he said, because your son will never be a Catholic. He doesn't believe in it. And they don't go, he doesn't go to church, he married a girl that belongs to the Episcopalian church, and she goes to church, and they have confirmations and things like that, like we have in the Lutheran, and the three girls are confirmed in there, and the mother goes, but Jim never goes.
So maybe he saw too much discussion about it when he was growing up.
Well, I can't say that it was, there was, because Mr. Lardner was the kind of a person that never would hurt anybody with any, and he never emphasized with any of the religions, he just went along. And in those days, they didn't eat meat on Friday, you know, or anything. Now they do, I mean, now they're all different. But they didn't eat meat on Friday, and he never made any issue of it. There was always, if there was, meat was there, why, he would just go out maybe and fry himself an egg or something like that, and there was never anything said. Never, never. He was the most wonderful person that I ever was. And so was she. And we have been together now since 1933. And I can say honestly that we have never had a cross word.
What kind of a profession was he in?
He was in the insurance. He was the district manager for an insurance company. And... it's a wonderful family, and they have had the three boys, and they were just marvelous kids.
Well,
the oldest one is a vice president for the Deering Company, and the middle one is a doctor, and the other one is the president for the bituminous in Rock Island. Mm-hmm. So they have good
education.
Yep.
So your son, though, he also got good education.
Yes, he is.
Augustana College. And
yeah, and he has a PhD from the
University of Arkansas.
University of Arkansas.
Arkansas.
He taught in Arkansas. He got his assistantship there, so he went to school and then taught chemistry in the university there.
Yeah, then he taught up in Missouri, too.
Yeah, well, that was after he got his degree. He got his job then. They have the principal down there at the University of Arkansas that they don't hire their own students, see, except those that are there on assistantship, see. So when he was through, when he got his degree, well, then he had to get out. So they helped him. So he was 2 years at in St. Joseph, Missouri. But then it was sort of uncertain because it was a state college. And the younger ones, you know, they, like all colleges now, they seem like they're short of money. So the younger teachers, they wanted them to work without a certificate, you know, and signing, you know.
Yeah.
And so he put in...
Yeah, you went back then after 54 years, or...
Yeah.
54 years to Sweden, was it last year?
No, 4 years ago.
4 years?
Yeah, 4 years ago.
So So what did you find then, after so many years?
We found a different Austin. Country.
We found a different country, yes.
It was hard to believe.
Absolutely different from some, you know, what we expected, you know.
What were you looking for when you came back?
Well, I did.
You know, I did anyhow, and I think she did too. There was change, just like here, we know that, but I didn't think they ever changed that much.
No. Yeah, I was looking for pets and things like that that we wandered when we, and they're all gone. And like we had a small farm over home, and there was it was all, you know, worked and everything, and now it was all grown, overgrown with trees and little seedlings and everything, and that's what just hurt me, but to see all that thing, you couldn't even find the little creek or anything. You walk in the woods, you were afraid you were going to get lost, and it's all full of trees. In the place where he was born, not the home where he was raised, but where he was born, I didn't go down there. But you, him and his brother went down there, and Eric said that the trees were bigger. He says he couldn't even put reach around him with his arms in those years.
When we left Sweden, when I did, anyhow, and she left 2 years after, they were poor. They were so poor in Sweden, so there was not even funny.
Yeah, they were the fattiest
very. I'm going to tell you a little story. When I went through school, you know, I couldn't work for Dad. Dad was a contractor, see. But I was not old enough to be out there yet. So I hear out there.